Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Election College, episode number 299, Harry Truman, part 3.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Well, Jason, here we are. Part 3 of Harry Truman. Getting closer to the present. Getting more and more details about these Mr. President guys. So who knows? This could go 12 episodes for all we know.
We could draw this thing out to, like, for the rest of the year.
It's like, you know, just raking in cash every episode we do. So why not, right?
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Good capitalists.
I mean, we have ads and we bring in a little money, but we mostly just like doing it for you guys. But Harry Truman, last episode we talked about, well, he's the president now. And this comes after a series of unfortunate events, as I believe Jason put it. And he gets in and he's like, hey, all my friends, come on in. And here, you have a job you don't know how to do. And you have a job you don't know how to do. And why not? You have a job you don't know how to do, too.
You sound like Oprah. You got a job. You got a job.
Yeah. But he gets in the office and he takes the oath and he looks at a bunch of reporters and he says, boys, if you ever pray for me now. I don't know if you fellows ever had a load of hay fall on you, but what they told me happened yesterday, I felt like the moon, the stars, and all the planets had fallen on me. And, that can happen when you become the president unexpectedly.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing because I guess a lot of people were thinking, oh, FDR isn't going to live very long. It seems like right. On the inside, but then you have the country and people are like, mourning a president, and then you've got World War II going on, and you got this vice president who barely talked to the president, and now he's the president, and wow. I would feel like the stars fell on me.
I can imagine, yeah.
And maybe a moon and a few planets, too, I guess.
So whenever he brings his friends in and appoints them to places they shouldn't be, but he basically says to all of the cabinet members that were FDR's cabinet members, you guys can stay in place. I'm open to your advice. However, I'm the one making decisions, and you're going to support me. You can have your opinions. You can fill me in, but I'm going to make the decisions, and you're going to have to pretend like they were your ideas, too. And this doesn't always settle well with people unless they already really, really like you. So we could see some potential problems in the future.
Not even, what, a month after he assumes the presidency, he's like, hey, guys, we win in Europe. It's my birthday. And he proclaims that the Allies have won in Europe, and now we're going to do something with the Japanese. So Truman goes to Europe for the Potsdam Conference. Remember that? That's where
vaguely.
He and Stalin and Churchill, they get together and they're like, hey, what about that bomb that you have? He's like, what bomb? No, he knows about it at this point. But in his diary, he says, we've discovered the most terrible bomb in the history of the world. It may be the fire destruction prophesied in the Euphrates Valley era after Noah and his fabulous ark. So he's like, dude, this is a big deal.
And he had just found out about it, which is crazy. I mean, he was vice president and, you know, in politics before that, but he just finds out about it like 2 months before that conference. And basically, he finds out during that conference that the first atomic bomb test had been successful. He kind of tells Joseph Stalin that, hey, we're probably going to unleash this new kind of weapon against Japan. Remember how they bombed Pearl Harbor, that kind of thing. So this is probably going to be happening. And Stalin's like, yeah, I already knew about that bomb. Sorry. Like, we spied on you and stuff. Like, I found out about it before you did. So in August, the Japanese government says, no, we're not going to abide by all the rules that you guys set up at that conference. And instead, you know what? Go ahead. Come get us. And Truman says, okay, well, I guess. Here we go. And that's when the atomic bomb is dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And that's a whole entire... I mean, we could have a whole podcast, like a series, about the atomic bomb and all that kind of stuff. But Truman's really justification is that this saves a lot of lives. Because, yes, you have terrible destruction, but we could have been looking at more war, which would have been another 250,000 people dying. Instead, whenever they bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it was only about 105,000 dead. So, I mean, whatever rationale you want to use, whether you agree or not with the atomic bomb and the decision there, I'm sure it was not an easy decision to make.
So the war ends pretty quick because of the bombs that were dropped on Japan. And what ends up happening is you've got this economy that is doing pretty well because, you know, when a country is at war, they've got to produce all of the weapons and ships and planes and all that goes into that. And then you make this transition to a peacetime economy, and that's kind of difficult to do because you go from a government that is just spending like crazy to not spending like crazy. So what ends
up... Not as crazy.
Yeah. What ends up happening is a bunch of unions go on strike, and you have people align along party lines with, hey, we're done with the solidarity thing. We're going to have our agendas, and we're going to try to pass those agendas. So he's faced with all kinds of strikes around the country. He ends up seizing the railroads in order to contain a rail worker strike. The entire national railroad system was shut down. This immobilized 24,000 freight trains and 175,000 passenger trains a day. So what ends up happening is Truman's not very popular amongst the American people.
As the 1948 election is coming up, and Truman's pretty sure he's going to run, he says, I am fully in support of the New Deal ideas. I am really in favor of national health insurance. I want to repeal the Taft-Hartley Act. There's a couple things he doesn't totally agree with. Has some little funky ideas about segregation and civil rights and everything. For the most part, he's a kind of a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat of the time. And so people really start to understand where he's at, and of course he wants to make sure that that's going to happen moving forward. There's all sorts of other stuff happening as well, though.
Among the things that Truman is faced with are, well, the Soviet Union is no longer an ally, and you've got the Berlin airlift going on. You've got the whole recognition of Israel becoming a state is an issue. And backing up to where the Soviet Union is no longer really an ally, you've got the onset of the Cold War. And what are you going to do with China in the midst of all of that? So things are even more complex now that the enemies are changing and you've got all these domestic issues going on. He ends up aligning himself with Republicans when it comes to international affairs, but domestically, he's very much a Democrat. 1948 election rolls around, and you know what happens there, I think.
Yeah. If you don't, we have a whole episode about it. But briefly, Truman is not well-liked even earlier that year. Basically, he's got an approval rating of 36%, which I don't really know how accurate those approval ratings are now, let alone 75 years ago or more. But still, everybody thinks there's no way he's going to win. The New Deal is a flop. Nobody likes it. You know, they're going to try to swing this out of here over to Dwight Eisenhower. And Eisenhower's like, no, I will not run. I will not take that nomination. That's not my job. That's Truman's job. So at the DNC, Truman says he wants to unify the party. And he kind of starts bringing the civil rights piece of things back into the platform. And, you know, there's a lot of people that still don't like what he has to say, but he's basically trying to make the northern and southern wings of the party get behind him because he had had some funky ideas in the past, and really he just wanted to help align people behind him. And, of course, he could have sincerely believed some of those new things he was saying, but he ends up winning. Winning the DNC. He gets the nomination, and he comes out and just realizes there's so much going on here. There's so much that has to be done. He issues Executive Order 9981, which basically makes it so that the U.S. Armed Services are now integrated. He integrates the federal agencies with another executive order, and he really starts to put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, and come out with a lot of these progressive ideas that some people just don't like, quite frankly.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yeah, and in the middle of all this, that's where the whole Chicago Tribune newspaper, he's holding it up. He wins the election, but it says Dewey defeats Truman. He was not supposed to win that election, so that was a shocker. And interestingly enough, he's inaugurated, and it's the first inauguration that was ever televised nationally. And you have an arms race that begins shortly after the inauguration. I mean, it's not too far into his second term that he announces the detonation of the first hydrogen bomb, which was more powerful than anything the Soviet Union would have had at that point. And then you've got an uprising going on in North Korea. They decide that they're going to invade South Korea. So the Korean War starts. Or the Korean conflict, if you want to be exact on that. So, in the midst of a huge victory in World War II, just a few years later, you've got another war breaking out, really putting on display the Cold War. You have Truman deciding that Douglas MacArthur should go ahead and retire. And this was not popular at all. And Robert Taft, the senator from Ohio, we all know him, he decides that he's going to start talking about impeachment.
So here we go again with the idea of, well, there's a big bloody battle happening. Should we use another nuclear weapon against the Chinese army? But choosing to not want to escalate this thing any further than it need to be, they end up taking the war for another 2 years. You've got 30,000 Americans killed, along with many people on other sides killed as well. This is basically the point where Truman's popularity approval marking dives even worse, and he goes down to a 22% approval rating, which is the lowest at that time, and the lowest that you'll see again until Richard Nixon. So this isn't great for Truman. Then you've also got the Cold War escalating at this point. You know, there's a lot of shady stuff going on. NATO is in the mix, and Truman's a really strong supporter of them. which does seem to help out a decent bit during that time, and especially as their tensions are rising everywhere. So it helps, you know, with some alliances with other countries and forces as well. And this is the point, and this is important because of what you'll see. The next president, Truman, appoints General Eisenhower as NATO's commander.
Now that the new lines have been drawn, the Soviet Union is the enemy. The United States, Britain, France, Italy, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Norway, Denmark, Portugal, Iceland, and Canada are like, NATO, hey, this is a great idea. Meanwhile, the Soviet Union just decides to take over every country that they possibly can in Eastern Europe, and they call their organization the Warsaw Pact. We all remember this, right? You have on the Asian front, the Chinese Civil War going on, and we're still in the midst of some of these blurry, weird, controversial alliances that our country has with the People's Republic of China. You know, mainland China, it's communist. Well, the nationalists, they're all driven to Taiwan. And to this day, you can't necessarily say the Republic of China in the United States because, well, Beijing's not going to be happy with you. And what do you do with Korea? We all know that that's a very controversial issue on the world stage. So not all of the things that happened during the Truman administration have been resolved to this day.
So in 1948, and this is just a very fascinating point of history to me, I want to see a ton of pictures and all sorts of crazy stuff, but Truman says, all right, we need an addition added to the outside of the White House. I want to put a balcony in on the second floor. And people are like, really? Like, because that's ugly. And he's like, yeah, and we'll call it the Truman Balcony. And they're like, okay, but we still kind of think it's ugly. That's, you know, to give the first family some more living space and things like that. So Truman and his family move into the Blair House during some of those renovations. And the West Wing, which was a bit newer at that time, stays open, including the Oval Office and everything. And so Truman would walk across the street, essentially, to work from his home at the Blair House over to the White House. And if you've never seen, we did kind of an episode about this a long, long time ago, but if you've never seen the inside pictures of the White House during this time, they completely 100% down to like the outside studs and dug down and gutted the White House. I'm positive at that time, you know, it was when they dug underneath and put a bunch of bunkers and stuff like that, and like just complete redesign. They basically kept the outside shell and that's nothing. So it's safe to say that it would not have been possible to live in during that time. Well, during this time that he's staying at the Blair House, there are some Puerto Rican nationalists that attempt to assassinate him at Blair House. And they're on the street, just outside the home. Jason, you and I stood there and talked to the guard that was outside the Blair House when we were there.
Yeah, he was great.
And, yeah, he was awesome. He was not really... They were not on high alert, I guess I would say, because we were just kind of like able to stroll up and be like, hey, what's going on, man? He's like, I can't tell you who's staying here. We're like, that's fine, but who's staying there? So the Puerto Rican nationalists, they end up shooting and mortally wounding a policeman from the White House. And that policeman also shoots and kills one of the Puerto Rican nationalists. So the other guy starts to get in to the house. He gets wounded, and they find him guilty of murder for murdering the police officer and sentences him to death. Truman says, let's have a little forgiveness, commutes his sentence to life in prison. And then Truman's like, huh, well, I guess this is probably a wake-up call that I should look and see this idea of Puerto Rican independence, because that's what they were coming to talk to me about, or maybe not quite talk to me about it. And we've never really known what's going on with Puerto Rico ever since.
Yeah, true that. There are so many loose ends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be known as the guy who says loose ends the whole episode when it comes to Truman, because we just never did deal with the things that happened in this era. Anyway, there are a lot of scandals going on in the Truman administration because, well, like Ben said, what happens when you bring your friends in? It's probably not a good idea. In 1950, the Senate investigated a whole bunch of charges of corruption among senior Truman administration officials. People were getting fur coats and deep freezers, which, hey, if you're going to be corrupt, might as well get a deep freezer while you're at
That's
it.
That's right.
Wow. A large number of what's now called the IRS, the Internal Revenue Bureau, they were accepting bribes, and 166 employees were either fired or quit in 1950. Many of those people were facing indictment. The Attorney General, J. Howard McGrath, fired the special prosecutor in 1952 for being too zealous. Well, what happened? Truman fires McGrath. So, yeah, Truman kind of got a little dirty.
Got a little dirty and cleaned house, or maybe dirty house. Who knows?
And that's where we'll leave it. Truman is not considered a very unpopular president these days, but in the next episode, we're going to talk about why he wasn't very popular, why that 22% approval rating was a fact.
Yeah, and exactly what that does for things that are going to come up in the future. And, well, also what happens to Truman after he's no longer the president. In the meantime, we would really appreciate it if you would head over to iTunes and leave us a kind review. We do enjoy reading those when they come in, and would really appreciate it if you would add to one.
Yeah, and don't forget, we do have a Facebook group. You can go over to electioncollege.com/group and join the club. There's no admission fee. Just say, hey, I want to be a member.
Nice. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.